Okay, hello everyone. Today I figured we'd talk about names and how we get names and how we choose names for children and why different names are more popular and some names are not. So let's start with this. If you look in Tanakh, if you look through all the books that we have, you will see that there are very, very few people that are named after their grandparents. Right? You don't see any Davids until David, and you don't really see any Davids after David. You don't see any Shlomos, you don't see any repeat Avraham, Yaakovs, or Yitzchaks. So it's a little strange that we aren't naming after these great, great people that basically started the religion. And we don't see until much, much later, right? You even see by the Shvatim that, right, Yaakov's 12 children, that each of them had a unique name that was basically created by their mothers or their father for whatever reason, right? So Reuven, ki ra'a Hashem, because Hashem saw. Shimon, because Hashem heard. Right, Yehuda, ki hapama hazeh odeth Hashem. This time I'm going to thank God. Each name had a reason for naming it. But nowadays, we see that names are usually chosen from a list of previously had names and not necessarily invented like they were in the times of Tanakh. And even more so, you have, again, like we said, you don't have repeat names, right? From Avraham through Shlomo and even throughout all of Tanakh, you might have some people with the same name, but you don't have anyone really named after each other, right? Again, to say very clearly, there are no Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yaakovs after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You don't have in Tanakh anyone named for basically the people who started our religion. So the question is how is it that we either invent names or don't invent names nowadays? Questions, comments, concerns? No? Okay, so we have a good mix in this room of invented names and Tanakh names, which is really great. So that way we can, like, fight it out. So many people are again, very want to turn towards Tanakh names because they are already there. You know it's a name, etc. A lot of people like to name after people. If you're naming after someone, you're going to use a name that was already used. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not if you use a partial name and not a full name, whether or not that really counts, if you change the name slightly. But that's not what we're discussing today. What we're discussing today is whether or not you have to use Tanakh names or whether or not you can make a name that is not found in Tanakh. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is probably the most famous and the most outspoken person against non-Tanakh names. So he would famously tell people would say, hey, can you daven for my daughter? Sure, what's her name? Shira. And he would go, no, it's not. He goes, no, I'm pretty sure that's her name. No, it's not her name. What does that mean? I'm pretty sure I named her. Her name is Shira. No, that's not a name. So she just doesn't have a name. And basically he would either call the girl Sarah or whatever else, but he would basically absolutely refuse to daven for someone with the name that was not a Tanakh name and would basically say that it is not a name. And he is, or not a traditional name. And he was very, very famous for this. That he basically said that you can only use names that are either in Tanakh or in Evan Hayezer. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, there is a section that talks about forgets how to spell names. Now, this is why it's most important, is because for weddings and divorces, you have to spell names correctly. Otherwise, one of them could be invalid. So there's a big, big machlokes, for example, of how to spell that. I think it's Passaic, the name Passaic in New Jersey, the town Passaic. So, no, there's like in Hebrew. Oh. There are like three, I think there are three main ways or two main ways. And the other person says that the other one's invalid. So, like, depending who you hold by, it's very vital to have someone who knows very strongly how to do these things in Hebrew. And that's why names are so important. Not just that, like, I'm making up a name and I'm going to spell it whatever I want. But if it's spelled incorrectly, you could have a problem for gets and for wedding, for divorces and wedding ceremonies. So those are both really big problems.
What about if your name is Nina?
So that's what we're talking about. We're going to get there. We're gonna get there. Yeah.
What do you mean, like, is it a real name?
Meaning, like, if when you're writing a ksuba, right?
But if I call someone pork,
yeah,
that it doesn't mean it's not a real name.
Well, it's not a Tanakh, not a traditional or Tanakh name. And one of the problems that they're saying is that you have a problem for how to spell fork in Hebrew.
Okay,
how do you spell
it?
What do you mean? You're not going to get married?
Let's say.
Okay.
But like, if I call my kid wherever I want.
So Rechav Kanievsky is very against it. Rechav Kanievsky says you're not allowed to name a non-traditional or non-Tanakh name. So you have to find something that's in Ibn Ezer, meaning that's in Ibn Ezer, it lists the spelling of names, meaning how to spell each name. But because it tells you how to spell each name, it's basically telling you what are the valid names. So if it's not in Ibn Ezer and it's not in Tanakh, you can't. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says not allowed. So then the students asked this. So what do you do about names that are from the Gemara? That if you look at Amoraim, they had a lot of Aramaic names. So how is that allowed? You also have a ton of women walking around with Yiddish names in the times of Tanakh. So in the times of the Gemara. So how is that allowed? How is that not a problem? And then the bigger question that probably for us is, how are we allowed to name names that are non-Tanakh names in Hebrew, like Orly, right? That's not a Tanakh name. How are you allowed to name a name that's just basically Hebrew words? How is that allowed?
What if your name literally doesn't even have a meaning?
Like what?
Fala.
Fala? Is that your Hebrew name?
My middle name.
Fala? That means speak in Portuguese.
It does. Why do your parents name? Do you know why?
After my great-grandfather.
Oh, so it's named after someone.
Naming after someone is
a totally different story. When you're naming after someone, the idea of naming after someone is that you're hoping that either the merit and or there's something about the neshama, right? If you mix around the letters of shame, right? Shame or shemot is like the word names is very similar to the word neshama. It's just missing the nun. The hey and tav are interchangeable. So, excuse me. So you're naming after someone in the hopes that their name lives on, in the hopes that they get some qualities of this type of person, which is why the biggest thing about naming names, the real only halacha about naming names, they're not allowed to name after Russia. Defined by what is Russia, not that the person had, killed four people or stole from stores every day. Russia, in terms of this, is literally defined by not following Torah commandments, not keeping Shabbos, not keeping kosher. However, they say that if someone else has that name ever in the world, meaning that there's a tzaddik with a name, let's say you have a great-great-grandparent who didn't keep anything and his name was Avraham. So when you have a name, when you have in mind that you want to name a child Avraham, so you just have a mind that's also named after Avraham, like Avraham Avinu. As long as you do that, then it's totally okay. Then there's obviously other allowances for people who didn't necessarily know, didn't have the right education, called Tinok Shinishba. Excuse me, that they didn't really know, they didn't really have the choice in the matter, as opposed to someone who totally grew up religious, decided to throw off everything and then say, I'm not keeping anything anymore, and then you want to name after them. A little bit more complicated. But back to our main question is how do we deal with these names, especially the Gemara names? So there's a Gemara in Yuma that says that there are a lot of Jews in Chutzlar, it's outside of Israel, that had names of Goyim. And the Gemara basically only says, and the Gemara in Yuma later says, don't call the name after someone who's in Russia. So it clearly doesn't state that you're not allowed to name these Goyisha names. So otherwise the Gemara would have pointed it out. So if Chaim says that the names of Tanaim and Amoraim, you're allowed to call people, but other names, new names, it's not so proper to call. So they said back to Rav Chaim, so they kept pushing him, and they said, okay, so what's the difference between the names, the new names now and the names back in the times of the Gemara? So they said, here Rav Chaim said that basically they had Ruach HaKodesh, meaning that they had some divine inspiration when naming the names, which basically allowed them to have a real reason, so to speak, that we have to basically believe that they had a reason for naming this name, and we're not allowed to ask questions. But us, we're doing it like on, by our own knowledge and not so proper. So they push Rav Chaim even more, and they said, okay, so show me where in the Gemara it says your name is Rav Chaim. Show me where in the Gemara it says Chaim, because that's a made-up name. You can't find that in Tanakh. You can't find that in Gemara. You're so adamant about not naming these names, and there's such a difference, but you yourself have a name. So he could have answered, well, I didn't name any of that. My father did. But his father was the Stipler Gaon. And that you don't say that about the Stipler Gaon. Say like, oh, I didn't name him that. It was my father, which is actually what my Rebbe said when I pressed him. And he told me only Tanakh names. And I said, but your name is Baruch. Where did that come from? And he said, that was my... And he's, and he said I didn't name me that, my parents did. So the question, so they asked Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim said, well, I'll tell you that there's actually a midrash, a Yemenite midrash, a midrash Teiman that says, and midrash Teiman is totally not reliable. We're not even sure who we're like, not clear that it's really part of anything, not really whatever. And one of the authors' name was Chaim, so it counts. That's what Rav Chaim says. So you're in good company, Chaim Baruch. You're okay. So there was a question asked of Rav Moshe. And he says, it was asked, what about naming Christian names or non-Jewish names or secular names, like naming someone Henry? Is that allowed? So Rav Moshe said that there's a midrash that says, right, that Bnei Yisrael, the only reason they were worthy of being redeemed from Egypt was that they didn't change three things. It was their clothing, their language, and their names. So what does it mean that they didn't change their names? That sounds pretty important. Well, the answer is that that was pre-Matan Torah. Before Torah, we didn't have much to distinguish Jews from non-Jews. So what did we have to distinguish us? We had language, dress, and names. So that's really the only thing to distinguish us. Post-Matan Torah, especially nowadays, we have over 613 things that distinguish us from other people. So maybe it's not as important to to make sure that it's just the names. So the answer is that you should still have a Jewish name. You should still have a Hebrew name. Problem is not problem, but the answer is that when you name a secular name like a Henry, so okay, so that's just what people go by in the workplace. That's what just people know by there. It's not necessarily what they're being called up to the Torah by. Now, being called up to the Torah, so that's a different story, because then you're talking about Jewish names. So in terms of making up names, so there's basically no source. There's no halacha around this. But the answer seemingly is that besides Rav Chaim Kanievsky, there aren't a ton of people who are saying you absolutely cannot do make up names. Especially there is a midrash that exists a little bit out there that says that you can make up a name. It's just you have to make sure that your child is okay going to be living with this name forever, right? So I wouldn't name a kid, Shabalaba Ding Dong, because then they have to live their life being called Shabalaba Ding Dong. So just because you made it up and you're like, oh, but I love the meaning behind it, that each letter stands for a different meaning, something else. Like, no, I'm sorry, you can't. The kid has to live with this for the rest of his life or her life. I don't even know what gender that name is. So I think like you have to just be careful when you're naming names. Like, so picking a name that's already out there, like Orly, right? So it's not a Tanakh name. It's not necessarily a super traditional name, but it has a meaning, and it's not a super embarrassing name. However, if you're No, I'm saying, but you have to know what community you're in. Meaning, like, someone like a Blimi or a Bashi might not work in a super reform community, or it will, like, those come from a what? I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, that's not a, you know, in a super reform community, saying like that's you know, that's the name. They're like, okay, that doesn't really make sense. Whereas opposed to if you're coming from a more Yiddish community or more yeshivish community, so that's a more common name. So also looking at where the names are coming from, the community that you're living in, again, making sure that the kid is not going to be embarrassed, that they're going to be able to live within whatever community that they're going to want to live with. So in the end of the day, a lot of my rebbeim do say, they do push towards traditional Tanakh names, but in the end of the day, many are also saying it's okay to be creative and it's okay to be like the Avos taught us, right? The Avos taught us to be creative, right? Yitzchak was called Yitzchak because Sarah laughed, right? That was the name that Hashem created, that all the Shvatim were all created names. So a lot of my rebbeim will say, no, be creative like that, but just be realistic, right? So Orly has a very significant meaning, right? It's about light. It's about my light, right? So that's a very significant meaning. It's not just pulled out of a hat being like, hey, I'm just going to pull together a bunch of Jewish Hebrew letters and put it together as a Jewish name. So ultimately, it doesn't really matter what you're called. Your name is your name, and that you're going to grow into it, and it's going to be amazing. Just thought to give you a little insight today about the different halachic perspectives about making up names. Have a great day.